Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, the computer games war between Sega, Sony and Nintendo is hotting up with Sega's long-awaited Dreamcast launched in the UK last night. Why is everyone so excited?
Dreamcast is here and it's very, very good.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always,
Ben Vanell here, and rounding out the trio on the couch,
Adam, Couch Boy, it's me. Do you remember that show Couch Potatoes?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, it was a morning show, and he'd be like, g'day, Couch Potatoes.
Yeah.
And I know it's the name of the show, but every time he did, I was like, shut up. I move around sometimes.
Yeah. I'm active. Yeah, he like had a little baseball cap on and maybe a mullet, I think, from memory.
That sounds probably true. And he was always, because he had a couch on the set. This is like, they play cartoons and shit. Yes. This is one of those shows.
I've got to be honest, I got zero recollection of this.
Yeah, this
what
is,
network are we talking?
I think ABC.
ABC?
Yeah, ABC.
Or what shows was he throwing to?
Bumpin' the Night was on this one.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, all right.
I remember, none of the shows that were on it. But it was like Cheese TV. It was like, I don't know what they have in.
I remember Aggro's Cartoon Connection.
Yeah.
It was Saturday TV.
It was the Saturday Disney competitor.
Right. Yeah.
What's up, Doc?
But he was always sitting on the couch as well, but like up on the top back of the couch.
He was cool.
Feet on the couch. Yeah.
That's dangerous.
My memory of this show is that it was the cool show.
Yeah.
This is the guy who's like, brother, we got the fucking rude cartoons here. We got Bump in the Night.
Mm-hmm. I reckon the person who invented the sitting on the top of the couch, they were trying to bring the cool teacher sitting backwards on the chair mentality.
Man,
to the
teacher spinning a couch 180 degrees.
Exactly. And then sitting on the top. Yeah. Beautiful stuff.
Lying on it, head facing outward, legs akimbo up over the back and being like, this doesn't look cool at all. The students are going to roast me alive for this one. It's going to have to be sitting on the back of it.
Are you guys paying attention still?
Do you respect me?
Why do you all have your phones out? What are you filming?
In the 90s.
Now. This is a now teacher doing it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You think a cool teacher is still doing the backwards chair sit?
I think so.
I think they're probably like dabbing or something, right?
Yeah. Planking.
Get up and vape in front of all the kids. Be like, all right, kids. I'm the cool teacher. So watch out for me.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Big week of news. We've been talking about this for a little while.
Man, for years.
Yeah. Mm. But it finally happened. The ink has dried. The checks have cleared.
Yes.
I don't. Well, yeah, it's done. The UK regulatory body.
Mm-hmm.
If I said you had a UK regulatory body, would you hold it against me?
Mm, probably.
Yeah.
Nice.
Drag it out for leak some emails.
They've passed the Activision Microsoft thing. That's done. They've all posted celebratory tweets. They had a weird fucking thing. So Bobby Kotick, Bobby, the Activision head.
Mm. He's the cordial guy.
Yeah, my dad picks the games that I do not like.
Yeah.
he is remaining until the end of the year as CEO, but then seemingly will be gone after that, which, good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the cut of that guy's jib to the point where they had like a Q&A thing with him, like some investor, I think it was, roundtable-y kind of thing, but hosting it with kind of pre-loaded questions, I think.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he got James Corden to host that for some reason.
Yes.
That's the how good this guy is at taking the temperature is that he's like, you know who'll make me look good?
Mm-hmm.
Having James Corden vouch for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe like by comparison.
Yeah.
Even then.
I reckon gaming as a whole is very guilty of that. It's like, hey, we've got the coolest guy we can think of. This dork.
Yeah. Here's The Rock showing you the Xbox.
Yeah,
do you want
it
now?
Yeah.
Kind of, actually. Mm. He'll be gone, I think, at the end of the year. They've said some stuff about, like, questions around, okay, so when will Game Pass be a factor for Activision games? Not this year is the answer to that. So like Call of Duty and Diablo and their like this year games won't be on Game Pass until next year.
Yeah.
They haven't
Which
listed.
Is only like 3 months away.
It's not far.
It's, it's not as big of a statement as it seems.
Yeah, just like they can't capitalize on the launch of Call of Duty for this year.
Right.
Yeah. But then like I don't know whether how much of the back catalog will end up, because with Bethesda, when that all wrapped up and became merged, they've chucked an awful lot of the library of Bethesda's games on Game Pass sort of indefinitely. So it'd be interesting to see if, like, okay, does every Call of Duty game end up on Game Pass now?
Yeah.
Yeah. You would think so if you've acquired it. You've spent all that money and you want to get people onto Game Pass. Like, Because what was the final price?
It's like $61 billion, something like that.
Yeah, something insane.
So next year will be all of that stuff. There was, like, a thing similar to that that, like, Disney's board or investors or some upper whatever at Disney were pressuring them to maybe buy EA. Did you see this? Did you hear about this?
I did not, Jay.
Ah, then the news.
Do a joke. Do a monologue joke about it.
Yeah, okay. Disney's going to buy EA. What does Monica Lewinsky think? That's what
Disney,
he would do.
Disney tried to buy EA. They accidentally bought Eeyore.
They already had him. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you do better then.
No, I love it. I love it. I'm impressed.
Oh, sorry. That head in hands was like, I can't believe I just heard something so good.
Yes.
How am I going to carry on living knowing that there's never the opportunity to hear something like that again?
Yeah, I knew it was my turn, but I was like, no, that's the best one.
But you can't. It
sounds similar to EA.
Yeah.
If you flipped over to Letterman and he's like, Leno had the best one about this, so we're not going to have a crack at it today.
Wheels over a little TV and just plays that one.
There
joke.
You go. Hey, Monica Lewinsky. Oh, you went with that one. Okay. There's no like actual sort of movement on them doing it, but they were. It seems like this has as was. The fear or prediction emboldened others to go, cool, we can maybe get big shit
well,
under
we
our
surely,
banner too.
We definitely can, because the issue of, you know, what is it? Something trust?
Antitrust.
Antitrust.
Yeah.
Or anti-competitive stuff is like, well, there's a precedent now. It's
out
the window.
Yeah.
The mnemonic you can use is you trust your auntie, you doubt your uncle. That's how I always use
okay.
it.
Oh, okay. Eeyore. Eeyore, Dave.
Everything else in the news we're not going to touch. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, this feels like it's dragged on for so long that on the one hand, it's like, okay, great. We're done with this in the news cycle now. This is like a button on the end of that. Mm. But yeah, as you say, now we'll just start to see. Rumor, you know, this company's going to try and buy this one now.
Yeah.
Which, is bad.
Yeah,
the implementation of it as well, as far as like, because they keep saying again and again, and this was part of them even being able to do it, like Call of Duty will still be in other places. Call of Duty will still be in other places. Because like in a lot of ways, this was a purchase of the Call of Duty company.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like if you can get all Call of Duties for $11 a month or whatever it is in your territory, then you're going to get Game Pass.
Mm. And they've said that the console exclusive content will no longer happen, which like PlayStation has gotten early betas and early access to maps and stuff like that for years. So it's already, they'll chip away at it over time.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Erosion. Oh. Fuck off, Jay Leno.
There's a reason he's gone.
That's my Jay Leno impression. So yeah, that's done. We can stop talking about that until the actual implementation of it comes up, and then we'll continue to talk about it.
Well, what else have we got to talk about? Switch 2. I guess we'll just talk about Switch 2 for the rest of the podcast,
That'll keep going. GTA 6 rumors.
Yes.
This might be the first week in a long time where there hasn't been a fresh Switch 2 rumor.
Yeah.
In between us recording.
Let's cook one up, see if we can get it out there into, you know, on TikTok or
Switch
something.
Switch 2's cancelled.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's the best. Yeah,
GTA 6 is in the Switch 2 and the vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And it's only on a phone now.
Speaking
the Switch 2 is a phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, my, the cross-branding wise,
yes.
And companies being big with other companies.
Oh, Synergy.
Synergy.
Yep.
Alan Wake.
Yep.
Everyone's favorite superhero.
What about...
I don't think he is. He's a writer.
What about Alan Woke?
Okay.
Has anyone
Has anyone
come up with that?
Yep. I wish I'd played the game so I could get in the mix here, because this sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm shining my flashlight on it, inequality.
Yeah. My nightmares feature representation of all diversities.
Yeah, I'm being chased by heaps of different people.
Yeah.
So they've done like a shortened recap version of the first Alan Wake game that you can play in Fortnite. He was a character.
You can play it in 2 weeks.
Fucking fuck off.
It's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Maybe this does well with Middle America, but honestly, Jay, I'm not into it.
Just go back to looking after your old cars, mate.
Yeah.
Your time's done.
What typos have been in the news, mate? Just
It's crazy that this is happening in Fortnite.
So I think Alan Wake on PC is an Epic Game Store exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that I assume. I don't know what the relationship between Remedy and Epic is.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know if Epic is like publishing this, because it's all digital, this release.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's obviously some sort of relationship there. But Alan Wake was in their batch of like Halloween characters alongside like Jack Skellington
mm-hmm.
and someone
Ooh.
Else. And then there's
Michael Myers.
Oh, that's very
groovy. Yeah, baby.
But the truncated version of the first game is playable in Fortnite as which is a great marketing thing for
it's cool
recapping the game, because I just started playing the remaster of Alan Wake and I only played like an hour of it,
and
maybe I'll just
ship.
Fucking time out
yep.
and go do it with some 13-year-olds.
That house looks cool, but what if I'd built the house myself?
Damn, dude.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
it's odd. It's an odd thing to do, right? Like, a year ago, you would have just been like, oh, let's bundle in number one if you pre-order number two or something like that, right?
Yeah. Sure, yeah. And like with a direct sequel like this, often the way people do, I assume that there's a good chance they'll have like one of those previously on Alan Wake type things
mm-hmm. yeah.
when you start too. I have no idea. But people just go to YouTube and watch a recap
or
whatever.
This
is a much more interesting way of, A, marketing this game to a huge number of players since it's in Fortnite, but B, it's kind of an innovative way of doing a recap of the first game.
Yeah.
Like I like it in the same way I liked those concerts that they were having.
Yeah, I kind of love this sort of weird shit. This is like, you know, in the first Animal Crossing, buying a NES and being able to play like Balloon Fight on the TV in your little house in the game. Like,
thank God I got the recap of Balloon Fight.
Because 2's about to come out.
Yeah.
So hold on, what is a balloon? Is that full of, how is it floating?
What's the conflict from?
That doesn't make sense with gravity. Why is it going up?
It is, yeah, it's great. It would be weird and bad if it was like became the norm. I feel like, you know, like the having a weird compacted different engine, different art style sort of thing. But also if it's free, then why the fuck not?
Yeah, and like it's obviously, you know, a marketing thing, but as that, I think it's kind of cool.
Mm. But like you're saying, yeah, most people now, if they're going to recap something that they haven't played before going into the sequel, they would watch a YouTube video or something. So just the idea of doing that to, like, working towards that audience that have a lower attention span, that are a bit younger, is kind of such an interesting thing, rather than being well, they're not going to spend the money on the original, you know, full priced first game and play through all of that before this comes out.
And that, it's quite an old, well, it's, you know, it's oldish at this point. You know, it's not like it came out 3 years ago.
Well, so playing, again, only a tiny portion of that remaster, it feels old.
I think I did the same. I played maybe half an hour and was like, oh, this, no. Because I played Control, you know, and I'd played, you know, I'd enjoyed other Remedy games, and it you could feel the age.
So if they're not going to like fully remake it to bring it up to speed before the new one comes out, you know, like they brought out Red Dead 1 recently, did nothing to it, long after 2 had been out. If like a month before Red Dead 2 came out, they went, guess what? We're not going to fully remaster Red Dead 1, but here's Lego Red Dead.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's like half the camp. It's the bullet points of the campaign. Mm-hmm. You bring yourself up to scratch, and then there we go. Yeah, number two.
I don't mind it. I don't know if we ever talked about how they patched in the 60 frames per second
so annoying
version to like the PS5 version of
so
those.
So annoying.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of... I might give that a go instead of proper Alan Wake.
Because
yeah,
how long is the actual game?
It's like a 10-hour sort of thing, okay, is my understanding. And then there's like another sort of side thing called Alan Wake's American Nightmare.
Yeah, that's okay. Right.
Which is kind of a different thing and a bit more action-focused, but does have some story stuff.
Okay, that right. Will
apparently play into the second. But yeah, so it's a weird thing that honestly, everything related to stuff like Fortnite 2, I've gotten into the position now where I'm like, it's no skin off my balls.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. It is. It truly is like.
And then people keep asking me, like, do you mean back? And I'm like, I don't care, man.
Yeah.
If I misuse it, is that any skin off of your balls?
Exactly.
It's a free sentence. It's free to play.
What do
it's
you
free
matter?
To say.
Yeah. I don't like the way Jack Skellington looks.
Because he's scary.
Yeah, he freaks me out. He's like.
Got a skull for a head.
Because he's just like put onto a humanoid.
There's like a default kind of model underneath that they've got to work with.
He looks like regular proportion guy instead of his long spindly legs.
Yeah, matchsticks. That's no
I
good.
Mean, as we've said a couple of times, there's enough like cross promo media stuff in Fortnite at this point. Mm. Just put everyone in there. Put Austin Powers in.
Yeah.
Put
yeah.
the Love Guru in. Have Borat running around.
The Master of Disguise.
Yep.
Yeah.
Put him the button, in. Have literally every character that's ever existed in
specifically the put the Turtle Man, but like the version of him where they had to film the turtle scene on the day of 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that bit of trivia?
He's every time you're running around, someone is constantly flying in from the side of the screen and whispering in your ear that 9/11's just happened.
Yeah.
And he's having to like move his shoulders up and down to look like a turtle. One of the weirdest moments in history.
Yeah.
I love it. And another little bit of news that I saw that I liked. There was an interview with, I don't know why, but with like the guy whose name I didn't recognize, Hidemaru Fujibayashi.
Okay.
He's like apparently the head of Zelda.
Right.
In some way, which I thought was Anuma, but I'm wrong.
Anuma's the guy that they always trot out for those presentations and interviews and stuff. Is he the director or the producer?
I'm not sure at this point. And but I assume they're in a process of slowly introducing this next generation kind of things because
everyone's
he'll be
getting
out the
old.
Door at some point.
Yeah. By the way, just as a quick side thing, I just was reading a bit of this before. On the Nintendo website, they've got these developer interviews about Mario Wonder, which are really interesting. It's like the couple of the producers, the designer, and Koji Kondo, the composer, all kind of sitting down and talking about like the genesis of the game. There's some really interesting tidbits
Super
in
Nintendo
there.
Super Nintendo of the game, you mean?
The Mega Drive of the game.
Yeah.
And how they all kind of had this, they had no time limit on the development. They just kind of started throwing ideas around. They're like, we'll just finish this when we finish it. We're not going to like box ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a point where they would just have literally everyone that had anything to do with the game in a room, writing up, you know, post-it notes on the whiteboard. Anyone can chuck something in. And Koji Kondo, the composer of the Mario music, going back to like the NES, was like, what if we had like a human Mario in there? And they're like, all right, well, there's no bad ideas.
Is he not?
He is human.
No,
yes.
no. He meant like a lot. What if there was like a live? All of a sudden, there's like a live action one in there.
Oh, Koji.
Oh.
No, come on, mate.
Full motion video style.
I guess, yeah.
Back behind the piano, brother.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Dude.
But I love that. Just an all-in meeting, like anyone's allowed to throw some shit up on the whiteboard.
And shit they did throw.
Makes me think that this will be a thing where they pump out a sequel pretty quickly because they had like 2,000 ideas rattling around there at one point apparently. Mm.
Possibly. That was Mario Galaxy 2, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
The head of Zelda guy was being interviewed and they asked him about like, where did all the like Sheikah Towers go in between Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom? He's like, oh, they disappeared. Yeah, I don't know. They just disappeared and it's a mystery to everyone there.
Yeah.
Meaning, fuck off.
Yeah.
We made a second game without them.
Yeah, exactly. That's a real, like, when you hit the third key on the xylophone. It's like fucking, who cares?
Actually, in that episode of The Simpsons, he doesn't say in the third key of the xylophone. He says the rib of Scratchy, so.
Hope somebody got fired for that blunder. Okay.
So I thought that was kind of funny.
There's magic in the world. What do you expect?
And all of those things, like, they came out of the ground, and so they sunk back into it.
But it
did bother me.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you've thought about the lore of this world. Like, you've spent ages developing this. That has to have been a like, there's no way developing it. They just went, the towers just aren't there. Who
cares?
They
just disappeared.
Like, that, yeah, like, they must have thought about it. I wonder if it is just a conversation that, like, because we, like you're saying, Adam, like, we didn't know this guy's name. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's just a thing of, like, he's so far, like, above that he's just, like, not tapped in. And if you're a Noomi, you read that quote, you're like, you motherfucker.
Right.
I wrote out a 10-page document detailing what happened to those towers. Yeah.
I did get bothered in that game how little some of the people in the world were talking about, like, oh, this is just like when this happened about a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, that was noticeable, to be fair, to the pedants.
You talked about how there's a little kid who makes you show him, like, every type of sword.
Yeah,
and he didn't remember you. So the stable owner remembers your horse, but the little kid is like, "Oh yeah, fuck you."
Well, I have the answer for that. They forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm kids not happy through, with it.
Kids go through phases, man.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, and also there's magic, so maybe it was a magical spell.
Spell got cast.
Yeah,
they should have had another
character. Like the Men
character.
In Black thing.
If they'd have had another character in the town going like, that kid's a bit ungrateful, isn't he?
Yeah.
That would have done me.
Or just one person being like, yeah, everyone's memories got reset because of blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
But
the Blood Moon.
I've never gotten massively into, like, the Zelda timeline and
well,
all
that's the
that
thing. All those games are happening in different planes of reality anyway. So, like, whatever.
Yeah. Mm.
Sound like the head of Zelda.
That should have been his answer.
Yeah, whatever.
Shut up, dude.
I'll point you towards a little book.
Shut up, nerd.
It's called the Who Gives a Shit Compendium. Well, I've been playing some damn games this week.
Oh, video games.
Some games of the video variety.
Excellent.
Me too.
Excellent. Yeah, same.
Please, I've been playing
Tommy,
a game
please.
On the Apple iPhone. Recommended to me by one Adam Knox.
That's me.
Okay.
A real
centipede?
A real life Close. Ruiner of a game.
Mm.
We've been playing Finity.
Mm.
It is a tile matching game that has a little snake as the logo, so it is kind of like Centipede.
Oh.
Or
Snake.
It's nothing like those, though. It's more like it. You've got a grid of 4x4 grid of different colored tiles with shapes on them as well. If you're colorblind,
it sounds beautiful.
It
like
is.
A little backstop for a kitchen,
mm-hmm. and you just look at it and enjoy like a mosaic.
Yeah,
it's nice. Wonderful. It like the bottom of a swimming pool.
Oh.
You are moving these tiles around either the horizontal row or the vertical column, and
Like in those games where you like have to move the like is the whole row moving or
yes
the, yeah.
Like a Rubik's cube or whatever, right. And you're trying to match three or four in a row. If you match three, they disappear. If you match four, they disappear, but then also recharge all of the similar colored blocks because you only have a limited number of moves of each before they lock up. So after three moves, they'll lock up and only be able to move in. So if you last moved it horizontally, it'll only be able to move vertically for the next move.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you move it vertically, it will be frozen solid.
Right.
Until you
and the only way you can unlock
it.
That is, getting a match, matching a little row and like, deleting the blocks that are so
once that block is frozen, it means that that whole row and column that it occupies can't move either,
mm-hmm.
because you've got a frozen block in there.
Yeah,
and so you'll get to a point where you can only have you've only got like one move that you can
you've
do.
You've got a finite amount of moves.
Yeah, and it's giving you it's got so you'll do that and then you're filling up a meter, and when you fill that meter up, you go into the level up phase, which is where you might have to do it kind of gets more and more difficult the further on you go. But for the start, it's like once you do two matches, you get a little special block, and then you need to get three of them and match them together. And then once you've done that, you move on to the next level.
Right.
So it'll give you things where it's like you're going up ranks. So it'll be like you have to go up five levels to clear this rank. Now you've got to go up seven levels, and the level up phase is getting more and more involved each time. And it adds in little wrinkles with each rank as well. And like to start with, I was just I kind of wasn't really paying too much attention to the numbers and not able to get very far. And then it becomes really about like, okay, I've really got to look at the board and see like, okay, that one's got one left on it. So I've got to take that out quickly because otherwise it's going to get me locked. Like it becomes right. more about like looking around and really using your moves as strategically as you can.
Getting the four in a row becomes really important because that will recharge your blocks of the same color so you can move them more. You've really got to be planning ahead. You'll get like new blocks introduced, like these sort of grayed out ones that you'll need to drop another block on top of it after the row above it clears to shatter it and reveal the thing inside. And you'll be getting like, you've got three spaces for like a power that you can use that's charging as you do more moves. And those will be things like putting in a block of whatever this color. So like you'll just have a green one sitting there and you can bring that in if you want. Or
swapping two that are next to each other,
deleting them, adding more moves,
adding more turns,
that sort of thing. And yeah, you're as it goes on, I'm completely stuck on like silver rank 3 or something right now,
right?
Because you've got to get, I think, 9 successful things in a row, 9 successful rounds or whatever,
right?
And it really builds, but it's like, it feels so satisfying to move all these blocks around. It's doing nice little haptic glug 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 glugs as you're moving them. The strategy, the grid is, the 4x4 is exactly the right size because it's just enough for you to be able to plan ahead a bit but not get overwhelmed.
And at the start, you've all, like every new game, you've always got like 5 moves you could do, like successful matches you could make straight off the jump.
Right.
Like it's like the board is like really open when you first start, which is why it's very easy to play it in a way where you just kind of treat it like threes and you're just going da, 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 without really thinking too much about planning ahead. And you know, you might have to, like, most rounds you can make a move where you'll get a match, but then thinking about like, well, should I line up this 4? I'm like sacrificing, I'm not making any matches on this one move, which is generally pretty bad. Like all that sort of pre-planning. That's, yeah, it's cool that it's got the leveling up in it, and because threes is just you play it and you're going for a high score, and it's very addictive in that way that you're just resetting. But this has kind of like a progression and a level system where it's introducing new things, and it's kind of making you play it like it's a sort of traditional. It's got that progression to it,
and it's ramping up nicely too. Like it's introducing more difficulty in a satisfying sort of pattern. It feels fun to play. There's another mode in it that is like a sort of musical mode. Have you tried that one?
No, I'm so just hooked on the like trying to just get that that progression, that dopamine rush of like, oh yes, I went up a rank, that I haven't really dabbled with this too much.
It's really good. There's only a couple of tracks in it so far, but it's like just got more of a rhythm to it, so it's getting you to kind of speed do it.
Oh yeah.
And when you're doing a match, it's like playing the next bit of the song kind of thing.
Like, and it's like there's a bar based on the beats that is increasing, and as that ticks over, you'll get another row added or something like that. I forget exactly how it works because there's only 2 and they're quite quick to do.
Right.
But they're going to add more of them in over time. Mm. It's on Apple Arcade right now. I'm not sure of its availability outside of that.
I am. It isn't.
Okay. I don't know about on... Oh, you've got an Android phone, so yeah, right.
It
that's
must be
a shame.
I think they do a lot of like timed exclusive stuff where eventually it'll be on
You'd
other
think
stuff. Because
so.
It's a pretty perfect phone puzzle game. Mm. It's the real scratching the itch of threes and all that other stuff. It's like the sort of, Tetris-y, if you like that kind of stuff. This is really going to do it for you.
Yeah, super simple and satisfying. And one of those ones where when you try and explain it like this, it sounds way more in-depth or whatever than
right,
it feels.
Right, it's more intuitive when you play.
I've been dreading it all week.
Very natural to pick up.
Put into words what you're actually doing.
I know. It's you know what you're doing. It's matching blocks of colors.
Yeah.
Heaps of video games do
it's
it.
Classic, like, this style of game where it, like, tutorializes you really nicely, where you open it up and it's got the most simplistic version of it. It's like, why don't you try moving this across?
Right.
Oh, wow, do you see what happened there? It's like, really holds your hand in this really nice way where you're like, okay, I'm a genius. I love this.
It's very fun. And so if you've got Apple Arcade or you have something where you'll get a month of it or whatever, give it a spin.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Affinity.
I guess I could probably play it on a MacBook. I assume.
If you had Apple Arcade.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe I'll get, because it does sound fun, although it sounds fun as a phone game.
Do you have an iPad?
No.
Do you have a...
$1,000?
No.
Do you have an iPod?
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod. I wish.
Yeah, man, me too, honestly.
I've been looking at them lately.
Yeah. Oh, really?
You can put a flash memory thing in them.
Oh, wow.
So you can have a terabyte iPod.
Oh,
imagine that. Go back to the old days. No one can call you on your iPod.
Mm.
It'll be the best. There's no Twitter on there. Fuck yes.
I still love that. Going for a run and just leaving the phone at home, taking the, taking the classic iPod.
Yes.
That was part of the thrill, was just like, yep, I'm off the air.
Yeah.
Now I'm like checking emails mid-run. Bullshit.
Well, it sounds like you would enjoy being back in steampunk times.
Brother, I'm already there. Take a look at me.
Yeah, yeah. Big goggles for anyone not watching on YouTube.
Yeah. Stovepipe hat. Fob watch out. We've been going for 25 minutes, guys.
We record this under a phonograph.
Yeah, I'm hypnotized by that fob watch. Nox, you reviewed this in depth, a couple of weeks ago now?
Yes.
I played, or have been playing, Lies of P.
It's a good-ass game.
I loved the demo when it came out and was just waiting for a little... space of time after, I guess, Starfield and finishing Armored Core.
Mm.
And I went in a couple of days ago. I think I'm over halfway through. I cannot stop playing Lies of P. It is Bloodborne 2, basically. Like, people have been screaming out for that 60 frames per second Bloodborne, you know, remaster. This is Bloodborne. It is the same sort of like getting hit, I guess, in this when you're blocking, getting hit. But as if you attack straight away, you can regain your health. There is no shield. It's about dodging and moving. And there's all these like layers of abilities.
You can shield,
block, yes,
but you get damage through it still. Like, yeah. Damage will still filter through that.
And I think depending on what weapon you have, you can, it blocks more damage or less damage.
Yeah.
But I've just been playing with like the rapier, the balanced approach to the game. But fuck, it's so good. It is, I would say, easier than any other From Software game I've played, except maybe Elden Ring. Elden Ring allowed you to sort of go around and build yourself up before taking on bosses. But I found the combat very, very easy, especially compared to something like Sekiro, which was... impossible.
I think the parrying in particular I have been able to get a handle on much quicker than Sekiro.
Right.
Especially when the parrying in this is really core to a lot of what you're doing with the bosses, especially.
Totally. I've just got up to a boss who essentially has the same playstyle as me.
Right.
It's one of the like humanoid bosses that has a sword and is dodging around quite a lot.
Right.
And it's like, well, you have to parry.
Is that like at the bottom of the elevator?
It's in sort of like a little amphitheater. It's about halfway through the game.
Okay.
So I'm having to practice my parrying. But up until this point, it's been kind of open to how I want to approach it, which is like dodge backwards and then hit.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because the dodge in it, I ended up not doing a ton of the dodging for whatever reason, even though that's my go-to Souls type of thing.
It's not, I think it's not as, you don't move as far in it. So and like the hitboxes and stuff are less obvious than the FromSoft games, it feels like. You can't, like, a lot of, like, I've been trained at this point to be like, well, if you dodge forwards, you'll dodge through their attack. It's like, well, not every time in this game. It's a different developer.
It's cool from that perspective too, how this, like, even though, yeah, it's their first one, but
it's like a Korean developer apparently.
They have a bunch of the bosses have attacks that will punish you for doing the obvious dodge or whatever.
Like, yes.
They will be built so that if you try to dodge forwards, it's got a sweeping thing that'll come up and get you for that.
Yeah, totally. But like, yeah, the visual design is fantastic. It's not like mind-blowingly creative, but the way that it sort of takes bits and pieces of the Pinocchio story and goes like, oh, what if it was like a fucked up, you know, forest? What if it was like the Island of the Lost Souls where everyone's an animal? What if it was like a gang that wore animal masks?
Mm.
So I think it's taking that all and adapted it into that like gothic style really well. It feels fun to play. It's so Moorish. And yeah, I think there's less of a difficulty barrier than certainly the Souls games and definitely Sekiro. So it might be a good one for people to try if they have found that a bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I found with, I guess I was doing like a heavier play style, which I don't normally do in these sorts of games. Mm. So
a big greatsword or something.
Yeah. One of the, just the big fuckers you're holding over your shoulder the whole time.
Yeah.
Which yeah. I think transitioning to that type of thing whilst playing it made it not that easy
right
for me, but I've been enjoying it just the same.
Yeah, right. Yeah, highly recommended. It's on Game Pass.
I don't remember how this, I think it might have been some sort of data mine or something or other, or it's like a job listing.
Oh yeah,
one of those type of things where there's DLC coming for it at some point, which isn't too big of a surprise. But
hell yeah.
Yeah, agreed. It's a great game. Are you finding that when you get, because I kept forgetting that it's Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Again and again and again and again through the game. So every time something Pinocchio happened, I'd be like, oh, right, this is Pinocchio. Yeah. That's so stupid.
It is like Geppetto, like going and talking to Geppetto.
It's so funny.
It's ridiculous. But it's cool. And it is like a departure enough that, yeah, like it is sort of, it really does feel like, what if Bloodborne was fairy tale?
Mm.
And I love it. I think it's great. And it's, they've literally copied the mechanics of a different game series, but they've added their own sense of style and creativity. And I don't know. It's really engaging. I love it.
That's the thing I was surprised by, because I totally agree that it is like a copy of the From games.
It's a literal copy,
even though it does have its own thing going on somehow.
Yeah.
Too
yeah, it's a copy of the From games, and it's using an existing IP.
yeah,
but it still manages to have, which is kind of cool to just be like, hey, we don't need to do something 100% new in every way.
Mm.
This can be our thing. The 20% that we inject, right, that's just us.
Well, it's done well that,
yeah,
like it's combined these other elements in a way that works really well. It's got, like I say, the sort of I forget what it's called, like the gaining your health back by attacking from Bloodborne. The parrying is a huge thing in Sekiro. Like, they are combining the best elements, the most interesting elements of these other really, really good games. And then, yeah, the story is like, it's very similar to that Atomic Heart game of like, yeah, we created these machines and then the machines rebelled.
They came, got us.
Yeah, which is like, yeah, that's just a good story trope, honestly.
Yep.
It ends up by I did, I've not finished it still and I want to go back to it, but I ended up being more into it than I expected to be, for sure. Right. And like the characterizations of the people you meet are done well.
Yeah.
Everything about it is just really competently made.
Mm.
There's a lot of going on as well of like systems and different like upgrade paths in like a few different ways that you can do, and like the weapon construction stuff I didn't even really mess around with yet that much.
I looked at it and was like, well, the stat, like, you know, you look for the stats to go up and it's like, well, they've gone up a bit, but also the play style of the sword that I chose at the start suits how I like to play games.
Yeah.
And it has, yeah, just that really simple mechanic that people, yeah, would recognize from all of the FromSoft games of like, collect enough of these special things around the world, take them to a person, and you just upgrade your existing weapon.
Yeah.
Mm. And you can upgrade that weapon that you got at the start of the game to be feasible to use all the way through the game.
I always end up with like a plus 10 broadsword or whatever in the Souls games. It's cool.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Lies of P.
It's a bad title.
Everything about it should be silly as well. Like, it's crazy that it worked, but it really does.
Yeah. Yeah, the P organ is one of the upgradable elements.
Damn right. Oh, I wish you could. Imagine if you could just, if I could get the right shards.
Yeah.
Change the hilt.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by our great pals over there at Manscaped headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for being our pals, Manscaped, and thanks for making the products that you make, because they make good personal grooming products.
That's right.
That's their bag.
Yeah.
Their beautiful leather bag.
Beautiful leather little carry case that you get.
And your little bag can be beautiful as well.
Yeah. Or big bag, whatever size. Yeah. They've got the battery life to handle it.
That's right.
Beautiful leathery bag that you might have.
The Lawnmower 4.0 is their latest in men's personal grooming for the body.
Yep.
They also got stuff for the face.
They got a ton of different things. There's a little close face shaver thing that I forget the name of, but I'm sure they've got some
the
clever
beard
name.
Hedger.
No, the other one.
No, yeah, there's a little more portable one now.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
For a cleaner shave.
Like you remember you used to like my grandfather had like a little like sort of little small one curved over the top sort of grill like little portable, you know, electric trimmer.
My grandfather had a sickle.
Wow.
That he would do it with. How we've progressed since then. The beard hedger is another one. They make good products. We genuinely use them and they can vouch for them. And
also, it's nearly Halloween, so something about a werewolf.
Yeah.
Skeleton.
If you want to vampire your dick, then...
keep your bone clean.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, don't only be scary up top.
Yeah.
Don't leave the scares for down below.
It should be a treat, not a trick.
Don't give your partner a fright when they look at your penis.
Put a razor blade in your candy bar.
Yeah.
You can get 20% off and free shipping, by the way, if you use the code FILTHY when you are checking out at Manscaped.
Guess what?
What?
It's kind of Christmas soon. I've already started thinking about buying gifts for my family.
Oh, dear.
And if you have maybe like a loved one who could use a body trimmer, Manscaped are perfect for that. And as you say, Knox, why not save on the shipping and also get a 20% discount?
Why not?
You're going to have to be buying lots of gifts if you're like me. A big giver. A big giver in every aspect.
Even if you're miserly like me. Pinch those pennies and get 20% off.
That's right.
And free shipping with the code FILTHY at Manscaped while you're browsing on the internet, by the way.
Yep.
Make sure that you are using internet tools that are necessary and useful for your browsing.
Yeah.
And I browse with NordVPN.
Do you?
Yeah. Anytime I'm shuffling through the shelves.
I browse.
Having a look.
We're not talking about body hair anymore.
God damn it. Lowercase I, capital B, I browsing.
You're not going to get past me that easy.
NordVPN make a good VPN. That's
yes,
the long
do.
And short
they
of
certainly
it.
Certainly do.
Yeah,
down at the VPN factory.
Yeah,
cranking them out. A VPN is a service that lets you use the internet from any locale, essentially.
It's a virtual private network.
Thank you.
they're incredibly handy. They've got many different applications. Content can be geo-blocked. Mm-hmm. Prices and shipping can be different from different places. Hotels can show you the wrong deals in different places.
Everyone's out to get you.
Yeah.
They're all looking to get you in the internet. Get them right back by using NordVPN.
That's right. A little bit of protection, bit of privacy. Mm. Basically, every government is able to view everyone's internet browsing nowadays.
Yep. Get them out of it for the
Go
most
away.
Part.
Yeah.
Stick it to the man.
That's
with NordVPN.
That's our new cat. That's great. Stick it to the man with NordVPN. And if you go to nordvpn.com/filthy, you can get 4 free months when you sign up for a 2-year plan. That's 4 free months. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
Useful on a bunch of different devices. nordvpn.com/filthy. Get yourself a deal. Seal.
Yeah.
That's only specifically for one man in the world or for a bunch of animals.
Why don't we first get into something else you've been dabbling with? Ben.
Okay.
Speaking of incredibly unoriginal games.
Yeah. That managed to be surprisingly entertaining, I will say. Assassin's Creed Mirage came out last week before that, I think.
It doesn't matter.
No, it matters.
It looked like, to me, it was coming out about a month ago, but then I got closer to the release date and it was just more
it's
sand.
Gone, yeah.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Calista Flockhart on the show.
All the reviews have said it. If anyone's tapped into games at all, they would have seen the headlines of like, hey, it's a throwback to the old Assassin's Creed games. And it is. And I love it. It's. I loved those first, you know, 3 or 4.
Yep.
And it is fully a throwback in every way, including like Yeah, sometimes when you like want to climb up a building and go through the window and you're holding the one button that is like climb, then sometimes you will jump past the window to some other place you didn't want to go.
Well, that's great attention to detail that they've got. Truly. It's so similar.
You'll be pushing forwards and there's like one obvious thing that you can jump onto and instead you jump to your death. It is a 100% throwback, but it is charming to me because I loved those originals.
So this one was, I think, meant to be DLC for Valhalla. DLC for Valhalla, and they spun it off.
Yep.
Because they're doing like that Assassin's Creed Infinity.
Yeah, thing some that's whatever
be like
it is,
the
yeah.
platform going forward or whatever. And this is about like a I don't remember much of Valhalla or how much I played. I know I played a bit of it.
Yeah, same.
And it's a character from that is who you're playing as this time, and it's a prequel to Valhalla. Is that right?
That is correct. Okay. Yeah, I didn't get up to this character in Valhalla, I don't think. But it's a guy called Basim. And I also cannot understand how it's connected, because Valhalla's of Vikings, this guy is from Baghdad.
And I
he
think,
lives in Baghdad.
I think when you meet him in Valhalla, he's like, yeah, I had to travel to get here.
Yeah, see, they thought of everything.
Fuck. The towers disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's this guy, Basim, who he's giving real Aladdin vibes. That is the start of this game. It's great because you are a thief.
Yeah.
A street he's urchin.
Serving street rat.
Absolutely. You don't have a little monkey friend. You have, she's a girl.
Okay.
Right. This. You meet a genie who's like, I can give you 7,852 wishes and they're all represented by icons on this city map and you've got to go and just stand in each of them for a second.
Hell yes. The setup is you're a thief in a town outside of Baghdad. Some shit goes down. You get taken in by a mysterious group of people who like to climb things and stab people in the neck.
Yeah.
And there's some fucking plot to get something. It's not very engaging plot-wise.
That makes sense.
Which is kind of a shame because I one of the things I did like about the Ezio Assassin's Creed games were like he was a recognizable character with a personality. There was a goal that they were trying to achieve, and the attention to detail went into not just the Renaissance buildings, but also the things you were doing.
Mm.
And it is a bit less engaging in Mirage.
Well, and they've fallen off of I liked back in the like Assassin's Creed 2 trilogy, whatever days, the interplay between the modern and the memories.
Yes.
And the progression of the present day or future or whatever, the future story. When they abandoned that stuff to a huge degree, but then still had it in there.
Mm.
In like the last few, you were still doing the Animus stuff and in like Origins and
Odyssey
and Valhalla, but it all felt so separate.
Like
an
afterthought, yeah.
And then the stories that were happening in each of those games were always kind of origin stories.
Yeah.
Which this is again, it sounds like. So like that type of that level of retread is tiresome with the Assassin's Creed games to me, and it sounds like they've not changed anything about that.
Well, they've completely discarded the future storyline.
Okay.
It's literally like voiceover over the opening credits.
Okay.
And then it's like, nah, you're a guy who lives in feudal Iraq. That's it. Don't worry about it.
It feels like Watch Dogs made them not... Because those early Assassin's Creeds were building to... an Assassin's Creed set in their world's present day.
Yeah, right?
Which then they didn't do, but they did do Watch Dogs, which was like Chicago or whatever Assassin's Creed, basically.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's been that way for 10 plus years.
It has. And back in the day, I used to think, get rid of all of the future stuff. Like, right. I want to... It's a layer of... an extra layer that you have to suspend your disbelief from. You know, it's like, I'd rather just be playing a guy in medieval France assassinating people. And that's,
I agree. Yeah. A little bit of like either one or two that I played, it did feel a bit like a bit of a disconnect where it's like, so I'm playing this game is me playing this guy having a dream. Like, you know, it just feels a bit like
going back looking for things in the past where it's like, where have they hidden the shit that we need to find today? And have your other story back then that's interesting too. But I think I liked having that connective layer between them.
I think they
but
did.
It hasn't
it
been
definitely
connected.
Gives it a bit more of a point of difference rather than just being like, yeah, you're just here.
It also started to make it ludicrous in the way that, like, yeah, you do have to go, okay, genetic memories make no sense.
Yeah.
But I guess this machine can do that. But then some of the characters, it's like, but this one didn't even fucking have the kids that would be necessary to then
pass the genetics along. Yeah.
So what did he leave a fucking, did he come on the machine at some point and we're getting it through that? I don't understand.
Yeah, maybe.
If so, then show
me. Show me, yeah.
But I didn't like it, but I agree that they did it as well as they could have possibly done back then, and then got progressively worse. So I do like that it's pretty much thrown away in this, from what I can tell. I've played maybe the first 3 hours.
Okay.
And it's so far just been, like I say, a mention in the credits. But yeah, the traversal is back to being what I remember it being like in the early ones. They've made more of an effort to create big structures and buildings and things to climb.
Mm.
Like that was, I think, missing in Odyssey and Origins and Valhalla.
Definitely as well. Yeah,
bunch of towns, like villages and shacks and stuff.
You were doing a lot of riding across kind of flat land.
Yeah,
it was more like The Witcher. Those last three. Which was fine in its own way.
Totally. It was a different kind of game, though, and it appealed for a different reason. Whereas I liked those early ones where, the climbing and stuff, there were climbing, platforming challenges that you had to, figure out, jump over here, swing through this, and then climb to the top of this, perfectly recreated Renaissance, church in Florence. Like, oh, this is sick.
Mm.
So it's gone way more towards that.
Cool.
Visually, it's incredible. Like, it's just ridiculous. They've made Baghdad of this era, and climbing over a mosque while the sun is rising behind it, it's just like, it looks amazing.
Great.
And while the story is maybe not so engaging, it's giving me enough reasons to progress, to go forwards, to find a guy in an encampment and sneak around and stab him in the back. And that's all I want.
Yeah.
In real life,
doesn't
and in
take
games.
A lot to get, yeah. but there's not a lot of reason, but it's enough for me to stab him.
Yeah,
I've been set off.
The thrill of getting away with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It's basically what if Assassin's Creed 2 was made in 2023?
Okay.
In a different city, and it's great. I'm really enjoying it. I was very pleasantly surprised. And I think the other thing of the icons everywhere, a great 2023 thing. You can turn off most of the interface.
Right.
You can dial all of that stuff back. There's colorblind things. There's accessibility options. But there's also just remove all the shit from the screen options.
Is it back to, because I've seen confusingly differing things about whether the combat is kind of back to the old Assassin's Creed style, which in my memory was more similar to Batman Arkham games and that sort of thing, I guess. Whereas the more modern ones were you were getting a bunch of different Diablo weapons upgrade and upgrade and upgrade and upgrade.
Yeah.
And then the combat was also sort of slightly different.
It felt harder to me, less forgiving.
A little more post Souls being popular type of combat. Where does this one fall?
It's fully the old style. You can parry and you can attack, and you've got a dagger and a sword, and it's not that important. There really isn't more of a focus on stealth than there has been for 7 or 8 years in this franchise.
That's true. I don't remember sneaking around very much.
Yeah.
Because I was a big fucking Viking.
Yeah.
Coming
yeah.
there, axe are swinging.
This is more reminds me a bit of Ghost of Tsushima, where it's there's a little, military encampment.
Yeah,
and there's heaps of bushes everywhere. And also you can climb onto the roof and sometimes people won't see you. Like it is much more, I think, focused on that and plotting a route to the guy you're going to kill. Or in the early part of this game, the person you're going to pickpocket something from chest you're going to loot.
Bushes really are a key part of being a good assassin.
Yeah.
If you find out you got to kill a gardener, you're like, oh, job's done.
Hell yeah.
Don't worry about
it. Come right to me.
Yeah. But there's a fair bit of tutorializing at the start. Because, yeah, you like literally are a guy who gets recruited into the assassins thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, and you see people training to do the jump off the towers into hay bales.
Yeah.
Like the first time you do it, you like don't go head first and like... You're not quite there yet.
You jumped a little too early. You've got to wait for the eagle to be passing overhead so that it can cry as you jump.
And the camera can circle around. It wasn't quite in position
wait
yet.
Wait for the drone to be here and then you can do it.
But it really is. It's harkening back to all of that stuff that was what I enjoyed about the originals. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a big recommend for me. Like, not a groundbreaking thing. Literally a throwback, but in a way that I enjoy.
Cool.
And it sounds like there's a good chance that if you've played video games over the last 15 years, you know where you stand on Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
As a thing.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I think the next one is Feudal Japan.
I
think that there's been something about that. I don't remember if that's out of them or if that where that's from.
Which you just mentioned Ghost of Tsushima, so that's a tough one for them to sort of exist in the same space, I feel like.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, you know who else is back? The little blue bastard.
He sure is.
He's sped through developing another game 1 year after the last one.
Yeah.
Sonic Superstars.
He's back looking like a little squat little fella. He's not talking. He's not got that like too much chewed look that they gave him around the Dreamcast era. He's a little fat little bloke.
If you leave it sitting there, though, he will lie down and start wagging his finger at you and tapping his toe and all of that stuff.
See, I like when that was the extent of it.
Yeah.
You know, when that was the edgiest he got.
He didn't talk. He just was like,
Mad at you, the player, being like, come on, man, I'm bored.
Yeah, dude, I like to go fast.
Yeah.
We're at work here. Come on. Yeah. I'm trying to do something quickly.
I can't go anywhere unless you push the remote.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, Sonic Superstars is here. This is the best Sonic game that Sega have made since the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think so.
This is their 81st attempt at going, we're doing traditional Sonic again. Sonic's back to his 2D side-scrolling route.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonic Mania obviously was very successful at that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really Sega.
That was other people. And I'm not familiar enough with the like specifics of all the levels of Sonic games, but I keep reading all this stuff about with the release of Superstars about how Mania was like a lot of like remixed old levels and it wasn't like a completely unique game, which I kind of thought it was at the time. But
maybe the zones were riffing on old zones or something. I don't really remember that part of it either.
Yeah.
I thought at the time that people were very clear on like it's the style, the visual style of this old level, but I assumed the actual design was different.
So did I, but I've just been reading some stuff recently where people talk about it like it's a... Like, yeah, it was like a remix of old, I don't know.
Because there were the Origins ones that had all of the like collection of the Sonic games in them recently.
Which came out a year or so ago.
Mm. And they'd done like, was it Generations was the one where it had like modern Sonic and old Sonic together. They did like Sonic 4 as multiple parts on like the 360. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they've had a number of cracks.
And people didn't like people liked the 2D parts of Generations, but didn't like the 3D parts. And then every now and then you read like Sonic Colors or whatever was supposedly one, which I played when they re-released last year and did not like it.
Right.
And then you've got the whole other splinter of Sonic with Frontiers last year was one of them, the 3D ones.
Yep.
That are kind of a different thing in a
yeah, and then like Forces, and they'll do this stuff where they really lean heavily on the story. But I think it's pretty unambitious, and I think that's for the best. Like they haven't really tried to extend themselves too much, which is kind of what it needs at this point. Like I think just going back and going, let's make a real. This kind of feels like, remember all the like weird Sega Saturn Sonic games where they didn't quite have the tech to go fully 3D yet, but side-scrolling platformers were a little bit old hat at the time, so they had that like isometric
3D blast.
3D blast.
Oh,
like,
right.
This
there
game,
was like Sonic Jam, which was all the 2D ones, but then there was like a 3D hub world as a menu almost.
Yeah.
This
sort of kind of feels like if they had have just stuck to their guns and just made a side-scrolling platformer in that era. Right.
And you know what?
This is the game they would have made.
Yes. At Sonic Advance, there were a bunch of them that came out. They were 2D.
People liked them.
People did like them.
But I think, see, I think, again, they're made by someone else.
I think they might be too.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Either way, this feels the most like a Sonic 4 in how it feels that they've done. And it's fun. Like, I'm having a good time. It's a pretty low budget feeling type of thing in a weird way, where like it looks at the same time really good and colorful and bright and nice, and also fucking weirdly bad,
right?
As well,
there's bits where the backgrounds are like nicely detailed and the environments you're in have a lot going on, and then you'll get to a boss that is just like a sphere that's just like very like character design wise is pretty low rent,
right?
And the animations of like when you're killing a metal enemy thing, mm-hmm. you've got your robot scorpion looking guys and whatever, which are all correct, and then a little cute little animal will come out of it,
mm-hmm.
and then awkwardly bounce around and then disappear,
right?
And it's that sort of stuff where it's like, this is the right idea, and you're pushing all the right buttons. Mm. Maybe not for quite long enough.
Yeah,
though.
Right.
But again, I feel like who knows what their long-term plan with Sonic is ever.
Yeah.
But like, this feels like a good, like a real step in the right direction. It's fun, and it's got that, if you like the old Sonic games, it really scratches that itch. All the sound effects are spot on.
It's just like the music is good. It's got that very Mega Drive-y sounding bass that is really slapping around.
Mm-hmm.
His like momentum is the same. You can play as multiple characters in it. I've only played as Sonic so far.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But Tails and Knuckles and Amy are here as well, and I think you maybe get another one at some point.
Ooh, Shadow?
Who knows?
Dr. Eggman?
You could keep listening for a very long time.
That's the only ones I know.
Gamma 371, Big the Cat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rouge.
Vex.
Oh, yeah. I should remember all of these from the free-to-play Sonic detective game that we played.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Crocodile.
Yep.
Yeah. That had some of those isometric platforming sections in it.
It's true.
Yeah, a little throwback.
But so his momentum, Sonic's, is the same, where he takes fucking ages to ramp up.
Yeah,
sure.
Or you can
speed up in your ball and zip off. Mm-hmm. But it controls the same as those ones did, where it's like sort of awkward when you're platforming, but when you're zipping along,
right,
it feels nice to be racing through this. And it has the thing that some of those did too, where I am finding parts where it's like there's no way to react to that in
right
time.
Like, yeah, I think this is I've been reading a thing about how some people feel really split on Sonic, where some people just want it to be pure momentum and speed, and then some of the games
Sonic the pinball
some of the games call for you to do a bit more exploring, which this sort of has in it as well. And
it's kind of a nice mix of it, this one,
and I've seen some reviews sort of say that they're a bit, that's not what they want out of Sonic, but I kind of think like you can't have a game where you're just rocketing through a speedway and not do it, you know. I think it's sort of got the balance right, where you'll hit bits where it's just like really letting you fly, like it just sends you right off, and then you're kind of looking around and you get these little abilities which you unlock, and there's one that will reveal hidden platforms. So if you use that at the right time, you'll find a little platform across to like a little hidden area with some stuff in it. And
those feel maybe like a little underbaked or something to me, those abilities.
I keep forgetting they're there, except for it'll tell you, like if you've unlocked the one where you can see the hidden platforms, if you're in a bit where there are hidden platforms, it'll come up with a little thing down the bottom of the screen saying like, hey, maybe activate this now.
There's one where you can just sort of like, when you activate it, you can point in a direction and just sort of jet around in that direction for multiple jumps.
Right,
that helps you get to just kind of clear levels. But just with the like, I do, in the fast bits, I kind of wish you were maybe zooming out a little bit more and had your bit towards the back of the screen. So I don't mind the mix between the sort of more platformy bits and the faster bits, but I'd love to be able to have enough time to anticipate.
See what's coming up. No, I totally get you. It's because it's interesting, like, I think part of the reason why Sonic has struggled
feels
to...
really good that he gets me, to be honest.
Yeah.
I feel heard.
You feel that there's a connection. There's a real connection.
Yeah.
I'm an empath. I think part of the reason why Sonic has struggled to... You know, they've always struggled with what to do with him in 3D is that the origin of the character is he's kind of born out of, like, not spite, but like he is just like a response to Mario's really popular.
Yeah.
And it, but he's slow, so we'll make this character that's not as cutesy. He's got a bit more attitude, and the games are fast, and that worked for them mm-hmm. when it came out. But when this character hasn't been designed around an actual design principle for a game, I think it's harder for them to look at it and be like, this is what Sonic is. Because Sonic's right. born out of pure corporate, like, we need our own guy to take them on. Whereas Mario is like, they can always go back to the principles of what the Mario games kind of started out with. And what, so those flaws are just kind of always been there and there. I mean, this is a classic one, I think, like, for better and for worse. Like, it's got the, like, abrupt, you sometimes come to a halt. It's got these bonus levels in it that you're a bit
pop
like...
out of nowhere, like spikes or whatever, where it's like, I would have loved to have known that that was coming, so I could have jumped in.
Yeah,
other as games, the level seems to be built to have me do.
Yeah. Right, right. They build in a level of like, well, if you've been paying attention, then you'll know what to do here.
Yeah.
And you and you can't do that in some of the Sonic ones, even though it seems like it's designed around it. So that's the thing, is it feels like when Sonic's at his best, they do get Sonic, which is like in those sections in Frontiers where you were zipping through the kind of pre-built levels that you could see ahead.
Yep.
And it's like a racing game almost or something like that, where you're dodging incoming
like
obstacles.
An endless runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's when it gets in its own way of doing that stuff that it just starts to feel bad a bit. But this is doing it way less than plenty of other Sonic games have, and I'm like I say, I'm actually enjoying myself most of the time with this one.
Mm. Yeah, I'm pardon the pun, racing through it.
It's not particularly long. I don't get the impression. Okay. It's sort of built to be a bit replayable.
I think it's built around you go through the levels a couple of times from what I've read, and it's got like it really is doing as much of a old school Sonic thing as it can. It's got the like bonus little stages too that are of like fine, but you're never that psyched about getting into them. They're a bit like, what am I meant to be doing here?
I don't really like these ones because they're almost like swinging. You're like, there are dots all around this sort of 3D space and you're swinging between them to chase after something is one of the variants of them. It's like, that doesn't feel great.
They're just weirdly designed. Still, they've got these ones that are real throwbacks to the ones that they would do on the Mega Drive. But then a style of that I haven't seen in this yet that would work so well in current gen is the one in Sonic 2 where you're like running through the little pipe. Yeah. Like, give us something like that that actually uses this modern technology instead of looking like a thing that's just a scaled up Mega Drive mini game.
Right.
Seems a bit weird.
With those levels being replayable as well, it does have that thing that the early Sonic games had that made those levels kind of cool is having multiple kind of vertically laid out paths that you can switch between if you're careful to replay the levels. It's got that type of design, which, again, that's what worked in those older Sonic games.
Yeah, the levels seem all really well designed. I'd say the bosses so far tend to overstay their welcome a little bit.
Yeah.
They're a little bland.
I like the bosses, but all of them have gone on for too long.
They've all got a sort of loop of phases, and you work out where the weak point is and when your little opening is, and you do that, and it
probably like with a couple more hits than would be satisfying.
It's like you're doing it like seven or eight loops when it's like four would have been. I get it. I'm not I know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm not particularly challenged.
This
and
is
then,
just padding.
Totally.
Especially if you're wanting me to come back through here later.
Yeah,
right.
Like, this guy is going to
annoy me.
Be here still.
Right.
And there's one at the end of like every level. So it's a bit like, it's not like a Mario where it's like one every 10.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay. I'm about to finish the level. I'm going to have to do one of these.
Yeah. But they're not terrible. Like,
they're fine.
They're all right.
Yeah. But it's, I'm having a really good time with it. And it's cool that there's a new Sonic game out and a new Mario game out in the same week. And I think it is cool that they just really went, They didn't overexert themselves. They didn't try and get too wacky or creative with it. They've just, because like, you can imagine if this had come out, if this was Sonic Frontiers coming out this week in the same week as Mario Wonder, it really would be such a stark like, oh, this is kind of, you know, this really highlights the difference between these two franchises.
Yeah.
But with this, it's like, you know, a Mario Wonder seems like it's going to be great, and this is like a bit of fun. I don't think it's like getting up to the same heights, but it's can hold it. You know, it's coming. It's scratching the itch. Like it's.
It feels like this is how I sort of have always felt about Sonic 2, where it's like, this isn't very good. But I'm really having...
But it has its own charm.
Having fun, and it's colorful, and it's moving quickly, and I'm enjoying myself, but like, this is not
it's not a great game.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, I remember when Mania came out, and they had, you know, they'd gotten these other people to do it who'd made a lot of homebrew Sonic stuff, like fan projects, and... just thinking like, wow, that's such a cool idea, and Nintendo was still stuck in the making the new Super Mario. You know, they clearly like lost a bit of the like spark for it, and they hadn't made a new one in a while, and being like, God, I wish Nintendo would just do something like this. If they're not going to make a 2D Mario, just get some like fans to make a cool pixel arty one. And now like here we are where Nintendo are making their own like vibey creative version of their thing, and Sega have gone right back to like really keeping it very basic and very safe. But I think that's just, what they needed to do with it at this point.
It's better to rely on that tried and true formula than make something really bad.
Yeah. I mean, if they just pumped out like fun little levels, like they don't really need to do too much with this, I don't think.
And like, they could improve this that they're doing, but like this is more along the lines of like what you're doing here is a thing that is pretty unique to this.
Right.
Yeah.
And like has an identity that the others lack for me.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, like you say, like with the format of this game, maybe there is no way to evolve it. You know, it has its own little weird flaws. So
pull that camera back out. Give me a second more.
Yeah. That's it, right? That's like what's next. Quality of life rather than like, what if he didn't go fast? or what if 3D, you know, just like, no, just improve this thing that you have.
But they also, they just really weirdly do seem like a company that does not know what's good. Like even Sonic Origins, they were using versions of the games that are, you know, they had like a great, pretty much perfect version of Sonic CD out there, and they didn't use that version on Origins. They went back and they used like an emulated original hardware, but you know, like just little things like that where they just sort of don't get it. They're not very like player focused in a weird way.
Sonic Mania being so good and them not making another one.
And the team like, being why ready not? To go. The team like wanting to make more. They should have just gone, okay, you guys handle 2D Sonic now and we'll do our weird 3D
embarrassing.
You know, we'll put him in an open world, which could be cool, but we'll make it a really drab Scottish
looking
dreary landscape.
Mostly empty,
Anyway.
Sonic's great.
Fun game. I reckon if you've ever liked your old school Sonics, you'll have a bit of fun with this.
Yeah.
I reckon.
I think so too. In opposition to what Sonic would do, though, I don't think there's any need to rush to buy this. When it's on a bit of a sale, though,
I think so. Right. Yeah.
When you've got a little sort of thing. Gap in your own gaming sort of time,
it's kind of fun. It's a good game. More than I expected.
When they announced this, I thought they're going to fuck this up completely. I don't know why they're not just making Mania 2. And now that it's out, it's like, oh, I kind of get it. Yeah, they wanted to do their own take on it and kind of go right back to the drawing board. So it's so much better than I expected it to be from when it was announced.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do us for this week. We will be back next week. Big week, Mario Wonder and Spider-Man 2 on the docket. Very excited for both of those. But until then, thank you for joining us. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for the links to everything that we have going on. We've got the Patreon. Get on there. Get an extra show every week in the inbox where we talk about movies and TV.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to talk about a book this week. Not to turn anyone off the Patreon.
I'm going to talk about a TV show about superheroes. So
okay. Yeah. Welcome back in.
Get on the YouTube. We've got the Let's Plays. We've got the video episodes. We've got all sorts of stuff on there.
You can watch Tommy saying that sentence if you want to.
You can zoom right in.
And if you're doing that, you could also podcast as well.
Yeah.
You could double dip, why don't you?
Yeah, sync them up.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done that for you. But
yeah, it's crazy. It matches up with the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. And yeah, play Dark Side of the Moon. It'll ruin the whole podcast.
Yeah, you can't hear anything.
Yeah.
Come see me in Perth November 3rd.
Yes.
Hobart November 17th.
Hobart?
Hobart.
Wow, down at Salamanca Market.
Exactly. I'm open. I'm busking. Oh, I'm going down there to busk.
Yeah, with your multimedia stand-up
show. Yeah, exactly. Sydney November 23rd and then Melbourne taping my special on November the 30th.
That'll be a bit of fun.
It will be a bit of fun.
You've kind of remixed it Sonic Mania style.
I really have. Yeah. I got Christian Whitehead in to yep. I gave him the original assets and just let him go hog wild.
Michael Jackson scoring the whole thing. It's a beautiful production.
Yeah. I did a
3 out of 10.
That's him scoring it.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time, and as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Lithe of P is out. Lithe of P is out. There's a new game as well coming out called Lithe of B. It's that he did not have sexual relations with that woman. that was meant to be Jay Leno. Sounded like a clown, which is not what Jay Leno is.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.